You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Inside the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, joined by my esteemed co-host, Saray Poole. Saray, my guy, how are you today?
I am good. We're missing Tyler. He had some personal stuff going on, so he had to miss the show. But a lot of stuff to talk about. Sam Darnold trade just happened, and we got some rankings to get through, so it's some good content for today's show.
Yeah, we usually don't record today, but it benefited us greatly that we waited as the news just came down. So first impression, right? Sam Darnold gets traded to the Carolina Panthers from the New York Jets for a future second and a sixth this year, right? Yeah. So a sixth this year and then a second next year. What was your first impression of the trade when you saw it? You know, who do you think the winner is, the losers are? We're just kind of going to talk about it.
I think the losers are the Panthers big time because...
Okay,
this is the thing. Bridgewater, you gave him 3 years, $72 million, right? Carolina could have sleptwalked right into Trevor Lawrence this year if they just would have played Kyle Allen for the entire season instead of trading him away. They didn't think that one through. So they signed Teddy, for whatever reason, thought they were in a win-now situation. I don't know what the thought process was behind that. Now you got to find somebody to trade for Bridgewater, which realistically we just talked about off-air. There's only a few teams who may do that trade. And Joe Brady with Darnold, he should be better. The weapons they have in Carolina should be better. But I'm just not a Darnold guy. So I'm like, until you prove me wrong, I just think you're a loser because it went from we're going to trade up for a quarterback. We're going to be uber aggressive for Watson. And we know what happened when Watson's off the field issues. We won't get on that. But now, are you really going to trade up? You can't trade up to four because the Falcons are there. They're not going to do business in their division. 49ers jumped you to number three, beat everybody to that deal. And where is you going to go, right? So I think they're stuck at eight unless you want to take Mac Jones, which doesn't look like it's going to happen because you just traded for Darnold. So I don't know, man. I think this was just plan C. I think plan A was Watson, plan B was straight up, and this was just, you know, the plan C, we had to do something. So I don't know. I think they just could have handled the situation a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, my initial reaction was actually the opposite. I think this is a good deal for the Panthers. I didn't look at it in the context of like, well, they could have had Deshaun Watson or well, they could have traded up. Like, no, because like my initial reaction was like, hey, that's not a lot of draft capital for a 23-year-old quarterback who went in the top 10 not that long ago. So for me personally, I'm on board with it. I think, and this is what's going to be really interesting, is we talk a lot about on this show and a lot of other shows, right, is like, can you fix quarterbacks? You know, like, can you, you know, in this case, it seems like, you know, can you take the Adam Gase out of Sam Darnold? I don't know if you can do that, right? But in Carolina, I mean, he's going to get with probably one of the best, you know, I think young head coaches in the NFL, Matt Rhule, and then one of the best offensive coordinators, young offensive coordinators in the NFL, and Joe Brady, right? So if you are going to fix Sam Darnold, this is the situation in which I think you can be successful in that area. So for me, that's why I think this is a good trade. I mean, you have a six-round pick this year. I mean, that's squat. You know what I mean? Like, that's nothing. Yeah, I don't care about that pick. I mean, yeah, you know, nothing. We're draft guys, but like, man, the sixth or seventh rounds,
they're probably not making your roster, to be honest. So
exactly, right? So, and then the second round pick next year, I mean, like, it's next year. It's not a second round pick this year. You're kicking the can down the curb. Now, yeah, would I have preferred them to trade for Deshaun Watson? I mean, absolutely, right? Yeah. But like, you know, Deshaun Watson, we got some problems issues there off the field.
We got some issues, man.
And then obviously, and I think this is kind of what I hope we spend a little bit of time on is like, so if you're the Panthers, right, let's talk about the draft real quick. 1, 2, 3 come off the board. You know, Lawrence, Wilson goes 2. Either Fields or Lance goes 3. I refuse to mock Mac Jones there. I'm not doing it.
If Mac Jones goes to the 49ers, we may just have to quit doing the podcast. Yeah, no more draft talk. It's over.
We're hanging it up. I'm gonna put my mic over my railing and yes, we're gonna hang it. We're gonna retire the mic. Yes. But if Joe, so let's just say for the sake of argument that Fields goes 3 to San Francisco. You're eight. Nobody trades up. Trey Lance is on the board at eight. Now, I know both of us would draft him, so that's not the question I'm going to pose here.
Yes.
Do you think the Panthers draft him if he's there? Or Justin Fields? It doesn't matter. Whoever is there. Say one of them falls to eight. Do you think they draft them and replace Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater?
Absolutely, because David Tepper has shown he's a very aggressive owner. Matt Rhule is here for the long haul, right? And I keep saying, man, if it's Trey Lance, the jump from the FCS level to the NFL with just, what, 1 year of starter experience? Is it 2 years he has? He doesn't have a lot of experience, man. That jump is huge. So it'd be a great situation for Trey Lance, right? You can move on from Bridgewater. You know, we said, Denver, maybe Washington, whoever wants to, you know, give up, whatever. And if Lance is there, he can sit for what? They're going to pick up Darnold's fifth-year option, so he can sit for two seasons?
Yeah, they already picked
Darnold,
it up.
Yeah, if Darnold wets the bed, Lance is waiting right there in the holdings for him to take that starting position. And I don't know how much longer Joe Brady's going to be there because, like you said, he's a young, hot commodity. But I don't know, man. It's hard. Dude, if the next year, the 2022 quarterback classes, it stinks. I know it's so early, but it stinks. I'm not a fan of much what I'm seeing. I mean, there's some toolsy guys, but nothing much that makes me like, yeah, like I'm willing to spend a top five pick on any of these kids. So if Lance or Fields for some reason fall to eight, you got to jump on it, man. Like you take them and you put your best guy out there. It's competition, man. The best guy win. And who knows, man? Sam Darnold could be on his way to be bouncing around the league. Kind of, I don't want to say like Josh Rosen, but you know, just.
Oh, you had to bring up Josh Rosen.
I'm sorry, man. I know you're a Dolphins guy, Josh Rosen. I'm sorry. But I don't know, man. Who knows? If they were to draft a quarterback at eight and Sam's there, man, that just shows they probably don't have a lot of belief in Sam. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would. Right. Because like, you know, we've talked about on this show, like we have a lot of love for the top four quarterbacks in this class across the board. You know, Tyler, who isn't here, he's a big Trey Lance guy. Like that's his quarterback too. You and I are big Justin Fields players or guys. So I would. I don't think the Panthers will. I really don't. Should they? Absolutely. Will I flame them for it in my draft grades if they pass on one of those quarterbacks when I do that article right after the draft is over? Absolutely. I don't think they're going to do it, though. I really think – I mean, honestly, I think they like Sam. I do. I think that there's a connection there. Matt Rhule interviewed for the Jets job 3 years ago. He had a virtual visit with Sam Darnold. Those two connected. They have a good relationship. I think they like Sam. And picking up that fifth-year option, to me, that signals that, you know what, we're going to give him a year. If he's the dude, great. We just got a franchise quarterback for a sixth and a second-round pick. If not, we're probably going to suck. So we're going to be in the top in the top eight again, and we're going to take another swing at the quarterback position. Not really, because that's what it tells me. But I agree with you, right? Like, they should, right? Like, Justin Fields and Trey Lance are fantastic quarterback prospects. Both of those guys garnered better grades coming out than I gave Sam Darnold in 2018. Now, I was significantly stupider in 2018, so take that with a grain of salt. But I have higher grades on those two players. So I don't know. I think that's the interesting question here, right? Because I actually don't think it's that crazy that one of those guys falls there. Because if you look at the draft, right, you have three quarterbacks come off the top. Let's just say for the sake of argument, it's Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, you know, the way God intended. And then the fourth pick, let's just say it's like Kyle Pitts. Like Atlanta takes Kyle Pitts, which I don't think is that crazy. I really don't. Kyle Pitts is a monster. Cincinnati drafts Sewell at five. And then you have the Dolphins at six, they draft Chase. The Lions at seven draft Waddle. They need that receiver. You're at eight. One of those guys is on the board. I know we threw Mac Jones out because, I mean, he's bad. But, like, we threw Mac Jones out. But, like, there was a ton of smoke around the Panthers possibly taking Mac Jones at three in a trade-up. That was a lot. That was, you know, a month. I know people probably forgot about that. But after the Senior Bowl, there was a ton of talk about that. So, like, I don't think it's crazy.
Okay, so let's say you said Kyle Pitts goes forward to Atlanta. So just for argument's sake, you say Lance is not, you know, going to get drafted. Mac's not going to get drafted. They go Sertan, the corner room needs help. Sewell's on the board, like, or not Sewell, but Slater, Vera Tucker. Like, do you want to, you know, spend a top eight pick on those two guys? No. Where do you go, right? I mean, if you don't draft a quarterback there, I mean, obviously, the league is a lot lower on Sewell than us, the media are. But what do you do, right? I mean, they backed themselves up into a tough wall by bringing in Bridgewater, dude. Seriously, like this—that was, from a draft perspective, just a bad idea, man. I don't know what you do if you're the Panthers right now. Seriously, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I do like this trade for them still. I know you're a little bit lower on it, but like I mean,
think it's good for them though. Change of scenery, and yeah. You know, Darnold gets out of New York was a dumpster fire. So me being an evaluator, like I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to reevaluate him under a new offense, new head coach. You know, better weapons. Offensive line is a little iffy, but I mean, he can improve there. But it's a better regime, right? We don't know what we're getting from the Jets right now. So I mean, it's good for both sides to move on because you know Zach Wilson's clearly their guy. So. That's that.
Which, I mean, pain, but whatever. All right, so we'll move on. Let's talk a little bit about real quick. We mentioned it briefly, but what do you do with Teddy Bridgewater if you're the Panthers, man? Because we went through this pre-show, and you and I were like pretty much that we came up with one team, which was the Denver Broncos, who could trade for them, and we don't even think that that's like a high possibility. You and I were like, nah, we don't think we do that. And that's
I don't know.
Probably the team that makes the most sense. So, like, is there any other team that sticks out to you as like, yeah, this is a team that's going to trade draft capital for Teddy Bridgewater and absorb his contract?
A sneaky one. I don't know if Belichick would want Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh.
Cam's on a one-year deal. Teddy Bridgewater is better than Cam Newton.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. They're both average. I don't really know. So, like, oh, man, that's tough. I mean, it's like we said, Washington. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't move the needle for anybody, right? You're just a placeholder. Taylor Heineke, I'm ready to compete for the starting job. The job's Ryan's, dude. Okay, like, it's Fitzpatrick's. Just give it a break. They brought him in for a reason. Bring in Bridgewater. I mean, he's, what, 2 years left on a 3-year, $72 million deal that they gave him? I mean, spot starter. I mean, like, Washington's just a quarterback away. The defense is really good. Curtis Samuel's over there now. You got Terry McLaurin. Man, you got pieces on the in the running back room. Like, they're just literally a quarterback away. And I don't know, man. They missed out on Stafford. The market's not huge for him with what the 49ers did and, you know, all the free agents that either re-signed or went to new teams. Like, I don't know where he goes, but like realistically, who trades for him? Because you know, it's got to be Denver or Washington. Chicago has Andy Dalton. Does that really move the needle? Like, I don't know what happened.
I was about to say, like, Ryan Pace is probably crying in a penthouse somewhere, man, because he missed having Teddy Bridgewater available by like.
How does he have a job still, dude? I don't know how he has a job.
It's tough, man. It's tough. We could spend a lot of time talking about Ryan
on the Bears.
Pace. Yeah, because he's super. I don't actually think he's a terrible GM. I think he just missed the quarterback. And
he just missed that quarterback.
Tumbled downhill.
Matt Nagy was set up to fail from day one. Never got to draft his guy. You were stuck with Mitchell Trubisky. Man, you missed out on Cam Newton, missed out on Stafford. We know about the whole Trubisky draft and whatever. Like, it's rough. And they don't do a good job of keeping our talent in-house. Leonard Floyd leaves and has a career year with the Rams. You trade Kyle Fuller away, right? You trade all these assets for Khalil Mack, and, like, Khalil Mack's great and all, but it hasn't resulted in anything other than, you know, a good defense. But you guys haven't won anything, like, literally nothing. So, I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah, there was a report, Ryan Pace, he did a presser, and he was like, well, you know, we had to cut Kyle Fuller. And it's like, yeah, it's because you're paying the ghost of Jimmy Graham like $8 million a year.
They have like 50 tight ends on the roster. Yeah. What are we doing in Chicago?
Weird. I was like, Ryan Pace, a good GM, and now we're just crapping on him. So he's not a good GM, by the way. He's not good. All right, so we'll pivot away from this. Let's get into some positional rankings. We still have that series going on. Last time we talked tight ends. We are going to talk offensive tackles and guys that we kind of think could go back and forth a little bit. Yeah. Guys that we're hoping fail outside and maybe they kick inside, but we're hoping they're successful outside first. So I'll let you start. I think I have a pretty good idea who your offensive tackle one is, but give me the spiel. Who do you got at the top?
James Hudson, Cincinnati. It's like, no. Well, Penei Sewell, man, tackle from Oregon, left tackle. Listen, dude, I seen somewhere that, like, I forgot who it was, what article I was reading, but somebody said, like, you know, he'd make an all-pro guard. He can make an all-pro tackle. I'm so sick of just, like, move him to guard because he doesn't have the longest arms, and he's not he's not the most technical guy, but he's a freak athlete, dude. He can move for a man his size. I don't know if you guys, man, just see this dude get in space. Remember the first game of the year against Auburn, the very first screen they ran?
I was going to bring up that play when I got to talking.
He obliterates people, man. He forgot to be his size, and he tested out of his mind. 30 reps on the bench, man, his short shoulder, everything he did at his pro day, man. He's still offensive tackle one, and again, the league is apparently higher than on soul than we are as the media, but like I just don't see how, and you could say anybody in this class is a better tackle prospect than him. So I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. Soul is my tackle one.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. I mean, I think you get, given his size, right? If you look at the numbers just raw, you know, his athletic testing probably doesn't look that great. But when you get look at it relative to the fact that he's, I mean, humongous. His numbers are actually incredibly impressive for someone of his size. And then you go flip on the film, right? My man's out here catching screen passes in 2019.
He's got hands.
I'm writing up my tight end rankings right now. And I'm telling you, like, I'm out here comping dudes to steal ladders. Sewell looks like a better athlete than some of these tight ends in space, my guy. Like, he is a special athlete at 19. He's 19 years old. You know how impressive it is to have his film at 19?
Well, apparently, there are some guys on Draft Twitter who think 19 is... I won't even go there, but Rob's going with that.
Yeah, there was a whole take. Somebody was like, yeah, well, he's like this at 19. How are you going to project him when he's 21? Like, buddy, you just described what scouting is. That's our job.
All pro.
What are you talking about? Like, what? That is literally our – you just described – whatever. That I cannot believe that was a real thing that happened on Twitter. But, yeah, Sewell's fantastic. And I think the other part of it, yes, is he a great athlete, great mover, great natural power? Sure. He's incredibly technically sound for a younger player as well. It's not like you flip on his film and you're like, this is a raw athlete. Like, no, like, he's good. Good pass-step cadence. His hand strikes are powerful and well-placed and well-timed. I really don't know what else you can ask for. I have no problem if people are like, well, Slater's really good too, and we'll talk about Rashawn Slater. That's fine. I do have a problem when people are like, no, like, Sewell is, you know, worse on film than these guys. If you just like the other dudes better because you feel great about their film, all right, fine. I mean, I adamantly disagree with you, but okay. But you know, but you can't go out here and be like, you know, Sewell's film is bad, because like it's just not going to happen. So he opted out of 2020, and I think, you know, well, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, man. Dude, I cannot, man. The Bengals passing on him at 5, I just think would be nuts. Like, you got to be.
Earl is like lobbying for Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that's
I get it. But you know,
I understand. But you need a left tackle, my man.
I agree. And here's the thing I think people forget is that Joe Burrow is not the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals. No. Now there is an argument to be made that he is smarter than the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals, because Mike Brown, my dude, is not doing a great job. They haven't been good in a long time. But
that's the problem when you're the owner and the GM. Hire football people to do football jobs. That's what we're doing here, please.
I agree. Right. So maybe – actually, you know what? I take it back. Joe Burrow should be the GM of the Bengals. I take it back. I'm walking that back. Joe Burrow should be the GM. Anyway, they should not pass on Sewell, but – let's move on, because I think this is where you and I might start to get a little bit different, have some good debates. So who's your offensive tackle to?
Man, Elijah Vera Tucker for me. I think he's a tackle at the next level, man. I get people. Some people love his guard film. This may be not be a hot take, but Vera Tucker's guard film was better than Slater's guard film, in my opinion. Like, I like Vera Tucker a lot. And like we said off air, it really depends on where he goes as to what he's projected as, right? So like I said, if it's the Chargers at 13, he's a left tackle, right? But if it's, you know, any other team who doesn't need a left tackle, it's a guard. So it just really depends on where he goes. But he has great hand strength, grip strength, man, smooth pass sets, kick slide is very fast. Man, finishes blocks, he's mean. I think he's not, I don't think his power is talked about enough. And that's really something that we're going to get to about another prospect that I'm considerably lower on than a lot of people in this tackle class. But I really like Vera Tucker, man. I think the versatility to play guard, to play tackle, that takes you a long way to NFL. Like we said off air, man, we're so pro. Let him fail outside, because what's the worst that could happen? You kick him in a guard and he becomes a Pro Bowl caliber player. He's a 10-year starter in the league. So I'm high on Vera Tucker, man. I think what he brings to the football team is outstanding. I think he has good mobility on the move. I think when USC asks him to move, whether it was screen passes or pulling, he showed the ability to do that. Man, I know people will talk about, oh, Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, gave him some issues out on the edge. Well, Kayvon's projected top 5 pick in 2022. So that's going to happen. You're not going to win every rep in college. It's how people set unrealistic expectations for prospects at every position. And they just all, you lose one rep, you're bad. And I just didn't know. Kayvon gave a lot of people issues, because like we said, he's number one overall recruit, future top 5 pick. So again, I'm higher on Vera Tucker. I know a lot of people have him as a guard or whatever. He's a tackle for me, man. And if he's there at 13, my man Tom Telesco needs to be making a phone call, please.
I dig that. Where does he rank for you? I don't know if your board is done, but like right now, like where is he for you overall, just in the class?
he's a top 15 player for me right now.
Oh, wow. You are higher than
I'm high on Vera Tucker.
Wow.
Man.
I thought I was going to be high because I watched him like 2 months ago and I was like, yes, this dude is awesome. Okay. So he's my 20th overall player. I really love Elijah Vera Tucker.
So we're
as well.
Not that
he's,
far apart.
No, not at all. I love him. I remember, I think it was on this podcast, I said that he is the second best offensive lineman, period,
yes,
in this class
he
for
is.
Me.
Yes, I agree.
All right. So I'm glad we're on the same page there. Yeah, I love Vera Tucker. I thought his guard film was absolutely fantastic last year. And I thought his tackle film was really, really good this year. And as a guy who's watched a lot of Austin Jackson, both as a college and pro player, I can tell you that Vera Tucker's tackle film at USC was significantly better than Austin Jackson's. And Jackson was a first round pick. Now, we can argue all day about whether or not he should have been.
Yeah, geez.
You know, well, I'll, yeah, you know. I've said enough on that, but you know, Tucker, his film at tackle was really, really impressive. And honestly, I think he did a good job on Thibodeau. Like, all things considered, I mean, Thibodeau, he's the edge at Oregon. He's probably going to be like, you know, I think he's going to be a lot of people's preseason number one overall player when we turn the clock to the 2022 NFL draft. The dude's a monster. He's really, really good. He's like Chase Young-esque.
Yes,
type
that's
prospect
fair.
For the preseason. I haven't sat down and watched his film. I don't know if he's as good as Chase Young. I'm just saying that's the type of edge rusher we're talking about here. I think Vera Tucker did a really, really good job on him, all things considered. Did he lose some reps? I mean, absolutely. But like, yeah, you know, I think we talk a lot about Rashawn Slater's tape against Chase Young from the 2018 or 2019 season, right? Yeah. We talk a lot about that on Draft Twitter as like, this is the best offensive tackle tape I've ever seen. And it's really good. Slater
it's
was
dope.
Fantastic against Chase, yeah, Young. I would say Vera Tucker's film against Thibodeau was comparable. Was it better?
Ooh.
Was it as good? Maybe not, but was it comparable? Was it in the ballpark? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I really like about Vera Tucker, and I've talked about this before on other shows, is that I have physically seen him with my own eyes play guard at a high level. A lot of times when we kick these guys inside, we talk about like, oh, we'll just kick them inside and it'll go great. And a lot of times, yeah, that is right. If you have a good offensive line coach, it's not that difficult. But like Rashawn Slater has not played a lot of reps at guards. I'm not even 100% sure he's played guard. I think he played right tackle and left tackle for Northwestern. I don't think he's played guard in a game. So Elijah Vera Tucker, I have a whole season of a very good guard film for him, yeah, where I can be like, I do not have to project this guy inside. I know he can play inside. And that for me is an advantage when talking about versatility. So that's why I have Vera Tucker graded ahead of Rashawn Slater, is I've seen that. Now, the conversation kind of becomes like, you know, do I think he's a better guard than tackle? Sure. You know what I mean? Like, okay. But I would argue, and I know that, you know, Jim Nagy talks about this a lot on Twitter. He's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, you know, where he's like, well, just play guys where they're best. And it's like, okay, sure. But I don't know. I almost feel like, and again, maybe I'm alone on this, but I think if I can get a Pro Bowl tackle versus an All-Pro guard, I don't know. I take
a
Pro Bowl
tackle.
I don't know. And that sounded like, when I said that, I was like, man, that sounds dumb. You don't want a Pro Bowl guard. It's like, no, I just think like maybe tackle's better. So I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence with that, but I think Vera Tucker, either way, I think he's absolutely fantastic. So I'm glad we both like him. Who do you got as offensive tackle three?
So he just really just broke it down, Rashawn Slater. So I'll just make this one quick, but man, if you, like you said, go back and watch the Chase Young film, and it just tells you all you need to know, man. His anchor ability, man. There are some times where Chase Young beat him to the inside, and he found a way to protect himself, right, and still win the gap and make sure that he was able to gain some balance and make sure that he can hold his own. The length thing will be an issue if he's playing tackle, right? Because if there are speedy edge rushers who have super long arms and who do a good job of converting speed to power, that may be a problem for Slater. But if you kick him in the guard, who gives a hell about the length, right? Because it doesn't matter. He's playing in a phone booth at that point. So, man, I think he has good lateral mobility. I think he has good strength. I think he finishes his blocks barrel. And Bear Tucker was graded a little higher than Slater. It wasn't like it was, you know, a huge discrepancy. It was close. He may have, you know, beat out Slater by like a point or a point and a half, something like that. I can't remember. But he's a good prospect, man. I seen something over at the Draft Network. Kyle Krabs actually thinks that he could be a center.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I don't like to project dudes as, hey, you've never snapped a football, go snap as a rookie, right? That's easier said than done. So I don't know. But I think a lot of people want him to be a guard because of his length. But His pro day numbers were amazing, right? I really love the workout video. He's squatting and he's getting pissed at the weight room coach telling him to get out. I love Slater, man. He's a great player. He's just not better than Barrett Tucker for me, but he is my offensive tackle three. And like you said, dude, let him fellow on the outside first. Why not? Because like you said, what's the risk of happening? We kick you inside and you become a 10-year starter at guard, right? Which we think is going to be a great pro. So quick question. What's the ceiling and the floor for Slater in terms of where he's getting selected? Like the highest he can go and the lowest he'll fall.
The highest, like four.
Is it four to the Falcons? Slater that high?
I think really? It would be insane, but it would. I mean, look, all we hear from NFL people all the time, and even what I'm told from people who are more plugged in than me is like, dude, the NFL loves Slater. Like, we've just been hearing that for a year. So, like, I mean, do I think it's likely he goes, but like, maybe that's the ceiling. What do you think?
Jeez, man. I would say. Jeez.
You got to think he's on the board for the Bengals, right? I mean, as much as they need offensive line.
I would say five to the Bengals and 13 to the Chargers. That's as low as he'll go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Chargers, you can't pass on him.
You can't pass that up, right? And I know I'm a little being a homer because I love my Chargers, but like if Slater's there, if Slater's there, we're drafting him to play guard and we've got to figure out what we do at left tackle, which is why I think we would take Darisol or Vera Tucker above him because we really need a left tackle, and we'll get to Darisol later. But I don't know. I think it's 13 or 14 is low as he'll go, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the Chargers would be foolish unless they passed him up for Vera Tucker specifically. I think that would be foolish. So, Slater's also my offensive tackle three, technically. I think that he is a very, very technically sound prospect. Just really, really good feet and hands. Everything's always in coordination. His length does not show up as an issue for me on film.
No.
Personally, I don't know. It didn't really show up. I didn't question his arm length when I watched his film. I was like, yeah, you know, he's fine. You know, is he long?
I don't question it, but I do think like, at the NFL level, it's a little bit of a question. He put on great film, so I'm not sitting here like, oh, his film's bad. You know, like it's his length is whole horrible. He can't play tackles. I think he can play tackle. He's not the only tackle to come through the draft with what's not, you know, desired arm length. Like we've seen guys be successful. So it's not a huge deal, but I think it's just something worth noting. I mean, when you're as good as he is, you're just kind of nitpicking at stuff, dude. Like he's a fundamentally sound player.
No, I hear you. And I think what we could probably both agree on, right, is like it checks the box to tackle, but it's really good at guard.
Yes.
which is, you know, kind of goes against our whole fail outside before inside thing. But I think Slater's quite good. And obviously we talked about the Chase Young film, absolutely phenomenal film. Really, really good job on that player. My biggest concern with Slater on the field is like, he just gets beat inside a little bit too much, like lateral.
Way too much.
Yeah, and it's like, I know lateral agility is not an issue because, like, you test it out of the ballpark, and, like, you're not a bad mover. One of his best traits is climbing to the second level and walling off guys. Like, he's a mauler at the second level. He punished the linebackers. But he gets beat in the B gap a little bit too often
too
for
much.
Me. So we'll have to see if that kind of translate with counters, but or how edges counter that. But you know, I think he's really good. I think he's a great player. I don't think he'll fall past 13. I think like probably like 15-ish is probably the floor. I'm assuming somebody would come up for him at that point if the smoke that we hear about him being as loved by the NFL as he is true. All right, so we covered Slater. Who's your offensive tackle for? We're three for three on the same here, so I'm hoping we have a little bit of.
I think this is where we get different. So, Tevin Jenkins.
Oh, we're the
Oklahoma
same.
Oklahoma State. Oh man, listen. When you guys are listening to this podcast and you get to this point, I want you to just pause the show and I want you to just Google Tevin Jenkins Oklahoma State profile picture, the picture they have of him of the roster. He's got the goggles. He has no business looking like that and bullying people the way he does on the football field. My man is a bully. I mean, like, the whistle's blowing and he's gonna remember that scene in The Blind Side when the dude who played Michael Orr is just driving the kid.
Oh, he blocks that kid into the parking lot.
Dude, that is Tevin Jenkins on every single play. He is literally a bully. And I think that the offense he played in, right, he wasn't asked to sustain blocks very long because it's an air raid. It's, you know, quick hit, get the ball out quick, horizontal pass sets, you know, quick strike, hands, whatever. I do think his hand placement and hand technique can improve some, but he is the best run blocker in the class, and nobody can tell me different. I love what he does. Like, dude, if you're there and the Ravens, for whatever reason, trade Orlando Brown away and Tevin is on the board.
That's nice. That's
my
nice
gosh, you take Tevin Jenkins. It's a great fit, dude. So the Raiders also, beautiful fit. Tevin Jenkins would be beautiful there. Does Colt Miller play left or right tackle for the Raiders?
I think he's the left tackle because Trent Brown was the right tackle before they traded.
If Tevin's there, man, Gruden would be all over the Raiders. They would be all over Tevin Jenkins. I swear, man, he's a bully. If you ever just watch this guy, man, he's so mean. He's looking to punish people. I think his ability to get to the second level now, he's not the best mover, right? It's worth noting his mobility is not his greatest suit, but I think this is where his IQ comes in play. He understands when and how to beat you to the spot before you get there, right? So he understands how I can get there to the second level and wall off guys, man. He's just I can't repeat exactly what he said about what teams are going to get from him.
Oh, if you guys
just go on Twitter and search Tevin Jenkins. I'm sure you'll find what I'm talking about, guys. But, man, he's just really awesome, dude. I just really hope that somebody takes this kid in the first round. He's a first-round player. Like, he's really, really a first-round player, man. So if the Chargers needed the right tackle – I would say grab him at 13, but Bulaga's there.
I like
and he's
that.
Old. I don't know, man. But Tevin Jenkins is a first round guy, man. I think the ceiling for him is where are the Raiders picking at? Imagine us covering the draft.
We don't know. Jeez. I always make fun of Tyler for this and
all the
I don't
time.
Even
but
know
I think.
The answer.
I think the floor for him is 7. I mean, the ceiling for him is 7. I think as high as he can go is 17.
Yeah, 17 is the Raiders. 17 is the Raiders.
If he's there, man, the Raiders, they run this card to the commissioner because he's worthy of that pick.
You got to think he doesn't get past 21, right? Like the Colts, definitely. Like
with Costanzo retired.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You imagine Quentin Nelson and Tevin Jenkins on the same offensive line. Oh, no. Jonathan Taylor may run for 1,500 behind that offensive line.
I know,
seriously,
dude.
That's scary.
That would be great. Yeah, so we are 4 for 4 here. I also have Tevin Jenkins as my offensive tackle 4. Yeah. Now, his film is nuts. It's just incredibly fun football player. His film against Texas, specifically Joseph Asai, is the best tackle film from 2020. So that excludes the Chase Young game, and it excludes all of Penei Sewell's film. But from 2020, I mean – Tevin Jenkins, I mean, buddy, he just bullied Joseph Asai, who's like an edge rusher from Texas who could be a first-round pick. You know, like he has first-round – I don't know if his film's first-round, but he has first-round measurables. And, you know, he's very, very athletic, and we've seen the NFL draft those type of guys in the first round before. So he's a very good prospect, and Tevin Jenkins just – beat him the hell up for four quarters.
Bully ball for four quarters,
man. Yeah, made him look like a UDFA out there. I just literally, there's a rep where Jenkins literally tosses him. Like, you know, we joke around like, oh, he's tossing him, he's pushing him apart. No, like Jenkins picked him up and threw him. Yards
just
like,
politely escorted him out of the club.
Yeah, he was like, excuse me, sir, you belong in the backfield, and he just tossed him there. And like, just incredibly good functional strength, really, really powerful, plays with an edge. I love Tevin Jenkins. I think he's awesome. I'm really happy that you have him as OT4, even though we're the same. I think that's great. All right, so let's see if we go 5 for 5. Who do you got as your last offensive tackle? Maybe we'll talk about some sleepers after that because we got some time, but who do you got here to round it out?
So I wanted to bring up my report on Christian Darrisaw. He's my offensive tackle 5. I just don't get it with Darrisaw, man. I'm sorry.
He's your offensive tackle 5 and you don't get it. Interesting. All right.
I mean, like, he's good, but he's not, like, top 15 good. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, from that, I don't get the top 15 point. I'll say that. But, like, I don't – I think he lacks the killer – instinct. Like if you go watch Tevin, you even Sewell, you watch Slater, all those dudes finish blocks. I see Darrisaw just running down the field, just kind of nudging guys, shoving. Like I don't really see him. I mean, there was the Duke game. I seen him a few times. He, you know, he got to the second level and put some guys on their behind. So he did that a few times, but it's just not consistent enough. I think his hand usage is good, right? I think his mobility may be his best trait, right? Virginia Tech acts and get out in space on screens. But even times I thought he sometimes struggled even in space to locate second level defenders when he was in space, right? So like I think Darrisaw is a solid prospect, right? I just don't get the top 15 hype with Darrisaw. I mean, and you turn on the Miami game, he was bad. Like not good at all to me. Like Jalen Phillips gave him issues. Quincy Roche gave him issues. And Jalen Phillips, little spoiler, my edge won, right? Like
chocolate.
That's exactly. And hey, man, listen, he's so good. He's so good.
That one's not a homer pick. That's just,
no, it's
you know,
really not. Like he's just so good. But like, dude, I just man, he just like he didn't really have a plan against Miami, dude. It was either like, oh, I'm gonna give, you know, Phillips the outside and he's gonna let you win with speed. And then there's sometimes where Roche beat him to the corner. Like it's just I don't know, yeah. man. I just the top 15 hype I don't get, right? And I know I said in earlier podcasts, like the Chargers gotta start, you know, taking swings at the bat. Like if the Chargers were to take Darrisaw left tackle, I wouldn't be upset because we're desperate for one, because like I can no longer do Sam Tabby's gone and Trey Pipkins isn't good. Like I would understand it, but like I won't say I'd be super happy like I would if this was a Vera Tucker here. So Darrisaw is my tackle five, man. I think he's a good prospect. I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, too low and I hate him because I don't, but I just don't get the top 15 hype. I think everybody's filmed. It just, he didn't pop out to me like everybody else did. And I try my best to stay away from the groupthink thing, man. I kind of like to form my own opinion. So like a lot of high guys who are smarter than me may be missing something that I'm missing, but I didn't see top 15 with Darrisaw.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually, he is not my fifth tackle. So we are going to get different here. Yeah,
I knew it, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it's Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame. We've talked about him a ton on the podcast. Yes. It feels like we get him into every mock draft show that we do.
We try our best.
Yeah, here's the thing with Eichenberg, man. I mean, just if Slater is the most technically sound offensive tackle in this class, Eichenberg second. I mean, just super, super sound, consistent, good process. Every pass set is the same. Every hand strike is well located, good placement. He's got good size. Is he overwhelmingly powerful? No. Is he the best athlete in the world? No. Is he going to come in and start day one and be solid? I think so. And that's kind of where I'm at with him. It's just that, like, if I'm at the back end of the first round, right, if I'm the Washington football team, if I'm the Chicago Bears, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts, if I'm the Ravens and I trade Orlando Brown, like, this is a guy that I get in and I feel good about him playing early. Does he have the best ceiling? Probably not. Is he as good as an athlete as Christian Darrisaw, who I ranked as my tackle six? No, but I think you get Eichenberg in. His process is better. He's significantly more consistent. He has the size. He has the length. And I don't think he's a bad athlete. I don't want to make it sound like he's, you know, a stiff. I just think that, you know, compared to some of the other guys in this class, it's a very good tackle class. There's a lot of good athletes to be had here.
He's just not sexy. That's all it is. He's not sexy.
Right. Yeah, he's not a sexy tackle. He's not going to come. He's not pushing people over, mauling people into the ground. But he moves guys. He gets movement. He opens holes. And he does a great job protecting the blind side. The only times you really see him screw up is when Ian Book runs himself into a sack because he's got the pocket presence of a rabbit. Yeah, like he's just running around back there. Like, I cannot believe we just said the same animal. That's so funny. but like that's really the only time that like I have a concern with Eichenberg, and it's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's Book just like running places he's not supposed to be running for no reason. So I really like Liam Eichenberg. He's my tackle five. I'll talk a little bit about Darrisaw because you touched on him, and then we'll let you talk about Eichenberg and then we'll get out of here. For me, Darrisaw, I have a lot of the same concerns as you. It's just a very hot and cold player, right? Where like you turn on some film and you're like, okay, this is a dominant left tackle who's a great athlete and he's huge and awesome. That's everything that I want. And then you turn on some film and you're like, man, Quincy Roche is like really taking you to town. And like, I love Quincy. I covered Quincy. I've spoken to Quincy. He's probably like a third or fourth round pick, right? So like, if I'm drafting Darrisaw, you know, in the top 15, I don't know. I'd like to see him have better film against some of these guys. And it's just like, is he bad? No. And I tweeted this when I watched Darrisaw. I was like, I mean, I don't have a first round grade on him, right? Like he's a second round player for me. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Obviously, I think he goes in the first round because that, you know, tackle positional value, it's not something that I, you know, put into my scale, but I just think he's a little bit inconsistent and you're going to have to get him to be a little bit more, you know, you got to turn that motor on at all times. And I'm not sure it's there with Darrisaw right now. And for me, Eichenberg is just so steady, so consistent, so sound. They're not separated by a ton on my board. I don't want to make it sound like I'm way higher on Eichenberg than Darrisaw. But I just gave Eichenberg that edge because I just think that there's so few question marks about his projection. And I'm just a little bit wary about Darrisaw.
So, since you broke down Eichenberg and I wanted to touch on a sleeper, maybe
go for it. Yeah, let's hear it.
Spencer Brown, Northern Iowa.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
So I'm reading here. Did you see his RAS score?
Yeah, did he get like a 10 or some insane number?
So it says right here, word for word, Spencer Brown is an offensive tackle prospect in the 2021 draft class. He scored a 10 RAS out of a possible 10. This ranked number one out of 1,134 offensive tackles from 1987 to 2021.
Wow. So for real quick, for those of you who don't know what RAS is relative athletic score. And it's something that MathBomb does on Twitter, at MathBomb. You should follow him if you're a draft Nick. He's absolutely fantastic. It's basically just like ranking players on an easier to understand scale than like spider graphs or just looking at raw numbers. So 10 out of 10 is nuts. So go ahead to talk about Spencer Brown, because that's insane.
Man, insane length. The FCS level, right? It's kind of hard to kind of rank those guys against what he's going to project at. And like, I think down the road he can project as a starting right tackle, but he's just fun to watch, man. He's mean. He's going to play nasty. He's going to play to the whistle. I think his pass sets are consistent. I think they're fluid. When you're playing at that level, you're supposed to be that good, right? So it's good to see a guy at that level dominating the competition he was supposed to dominate. Some people have him as a top 100 player. And I don't know if he's going to be – man, it's like you said, it's such a pass happy league and tackles go off the board so quick, man.
Yeah.
He may be gone right in the first 85 picks. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, right? Because these Dylan Radins is another who's not a sleeper, but just another small school guy. You know what I mean? But like these small school guys every year, it seems like they are starting to get more and more love. And I'm all here for it. Like Quinn Myers is another one. So I don't know, man. I'm hoping to see these more small school guys get their name called on draft day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Brown's really interesting. He's like 6'7". He's just absolutely massive.
He's
player.
Like crazy. Like, it's crazy how he's built playing tackle. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, you when you turn on the Northern Iowa film, if you have it, they didn't play this year, so it's 2019 film. I mean, he just stands out immediately because he looks like he's like a foot taller than everyone else on the field, even though it's like in reality only a couple of inches. So my sleeper that I want to talk about real quick, and then we'll wrap this up, is Dante Smith from East Carolina. He'll probably go a little bit later in the draft than Spencer Brown. He's probably a day three guy, but like, if I'm taking a developmental tackle in this draft, I want him, man. He's incredibly fun, really, really athletic, good length, absolutely fantastic Senior Bowl. He's added he added a ton of weight to his frame. He added like 20 pounds. I think he was like 270 at ECU, came in at like 290. Wow. He looked really, really good at that weight. He still moves really well, athletic. Look, pass sets, yeah, you're a little bit hit or miss. He's a short setter. He's a lunge setter. If he gets his hands on you, the rep's over. Great.
You're going for a ride.
Yeah, you're going for a ride. But if he misses, not great. So we got to clean that up. But again, he's a day three guy. He's a bit of a project, but I really like him as a sleeper in this class. So he would be my guy. But Spencer Brown, 10 out of 10 on RAS. Dude, that's nuts.
It's nuts. It's really nuts.
All right. Anything else for the show? Anything to add?
Man, I think we're done. Wrap it up.
All right. Let's wrap it up. So thank you for listening to the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Please leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. It really, really helps us. It gets us higher on the charts, and really, it's just great support. So we really appreciate that. Also, you can join our Discord channel, the NFL Draft Bible Discord channel. The link will be in the description. And with that said, peace out. We'll talk to you guys next week.